And I want you to turn to 1 Kings 19, 1 Kings in chapter number 19. I'm going to preach a topic this morning that God's put on my heart. And I want to say this, y'all pray for me. My allergies are bothering me. And so I have taken some medication. So if I say anything that's kind of off the wall, I'm Brother Wayne Coldfield, amen. So you get that down and get them CDs out and make sure. But I think I ought to be all right. I think hopefully I can keep my train of thought and won't say too much out of the way and hope I can keep my mental faculties. But I should be all right. But it is glad. I am glad to be here at Calvary Baptist with Brother McKinley. And so, amen, hopefully everything will be good. First Kings in chapter number 19. 1 Kings in chapter number 19. If you find your place, let's stand just a second. Read the word of the Lord. 1 Kings in chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. I'm glad I do have the Bible today that tells me how to be saved and tells me how to live after I'm saved. But I'm persuaded that every issue that you and I would deal with in life, the foundation and the truth and the help to get through that can be handled if we use the Word of God. And what I was going to say, Brother Nix, you read the text, and I've been struggling, you know, just about trying to do exactly what God would have me to do. The Bible said, Mary sat still in the house. God said, that's what I want you to do. I just want you to sit still in the house. Praise God. I could have left right there, amen. I'd have grabbed me a chicken on the way out, but I could have left, amen. But I appreciate you being sensitive, preacher. Help my soul, and appreciate the men of God that are here, Brother Moore. Just great preachers that are here. But 1 Kings chapter number 19, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Thank you. You can be seated. I appreciate you standing. And I thought about this. I told my wife, I said, I cannot believe that I am going to preach about what I'm going to preach in a jubilee. But I really feel like God put this on my heart this morning to preach about depression. And whether it is real, whether it's right, whether you think it's a sin or not, I'm not here to debate that fact. But I am saying this, that depression is something that is prevalent in a lot of places that I am going today. I'm talking about people that are getting depressed to the point they're just like Elijah here. And let me remind us this morning, Elijah is a man of God that called fire down. If you'll look back in the text leading up to 1 Kings 19, this is the man of God, Elijah the Tishbite. He just came out of nowhere thundering the word of God, and God used that man in a mighty way. But this man still dealt with depression. Depression is one of the greatest problems today. It's been called the common cold of emotional illness, and everybody gets depressed sometime. Now listen, I'm going to be very transparent this morning, all right? Listen, there's a lot of people say, I ain't never had a problem with depression. Now you can doctor it up, you can call it despondency, you can call it discouragement, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but you have been depressed at one time or another in your life. You say, no, I ain't never had a problem with depression. No, your problem's lying, amen. It's what your issue is. You need to just be honest, and we need to say that we do suffer sometimes. People get depressed. A major depressive disorder approximately affects 14.8 million American adults, or 6% 10% of the American population. That means 6 out of 100 people, and it looks like there's more than 100 here, but 6 out of 100 people are facing depression and are dealing with depression and go through times of depression. People with depression are 4 times likely to develop a heart attack. It affects not only the elderly, it affects women. Women experience depression twice the rate of men. Now, Brother Will was talking about being married to two women. I thought worse than that, you'd have two mother-in-laws. Amen. That'd be awful right there. But listen, women experience depression twice that the rate of men. That's why we need to speak to our wives. That's why we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I won my wife with my words. Amen. I know you thought it was my good looks, but and that had a lot to do with it. It was my humility, my good looks, and my words. I spoke to her, but I still speak to her. That's the way Jesus won you. He spoke to you. Amen. And that's the way we'll cleanse them and sanctify our wives by the word of God. But it does affect mothers. It affects the workplace. Depression's annual toll on U.S. businesses amount to about $70 billion in medical expenditures. That equals lost productivity. I don't have a lot of time to go through all this. It affects us socially. For every 2 homicides committed in the United States, there are 3 suicides. Do you know states with high rates of depression also have high rates of obesity, strokes, heart disease, and sleeping disorders? And people say, oh, now, Brother Randy, that's only for the sinner. That's only for the drug addict. That's only for the drunkard. Nobody right with God would ever suffer from depression. I'll say this, depression is destroying a whole lot of lives. And what we'll do is we'll come in, we'll act like everything's okay, and we'll act like everything's all right, never had no problem. You ever been around somebody and you say, well, how you doing, brother? And they say, well, everything's fine. My blood pressure's 120 over 70, and the kids is making all A's, and they struck oil in the yard, and everything's going good. Never had no problems in my whole life. I want to say, listen, liar, liar, pants on fire. Just get honest and say you got a problem, and let us pray for you and try to help you. Amen. And what people do is they say, well, you know, it's a sin to be depressed. I ain't going to debate with you about that, but I will say this, depression will lead to sin. You'll quit reading your Bible, you'll quit praying, you'll quit going to the house of God, you'll lay down the spiritual things because of depression. And I want to look and get on in this right now. But I'll say this about an individual I thought about, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Now, I don't agree with everything Spurgeon said, but I agree with a lot of it. Amen. I mean, if you're going to preach out of the book of Psalms, get your hands on that, because he probably wrote one of the greatest books on the book of Psalms that anybody's ever written. I know he might have been off on some things, but I'll say this, for 38 years he pastored the London Tabernacle, the Baptist Tabernacle in London, huge congregation, preached to thousands and thousands of people, started orphanages, helped people, helped the down and outer. I mean, listen, gave to a lot of charities, but he was a man that also suffered from extreme depression. Spurgeon's friends said this. He said, and sometimes he would use so much humor in his message that people would be critical of him. And what he was doing as he was trying to face that depression that he'd been facing since he was 22 years of age. Here's what Spurgeon said about his suffering and about depression. He said this, he said, my spirits were sunken so low that I could weep by the hour like a child, and yet I knew not for what I wept for. He said, a kind friend was telling me of some poor old soul living near who was suffering very great pain, and yet she was full of joy and rejoicing. He said, I was so distressed by the hearing of that story and felt so ashamed of myself. Now, the reason I said that is whoever this soul was, and here's Mr. Spurgeon, and he's battling this depression, and here's somebody wanting to be an encouragement to him and wanting to be a help to him and say, well, Mr. Spurgeon, I mean, here is this woman over here. She's got it a whole lot worse than you have, and here she is. She's on top of the mountain. And he said, when I heard that, he said, that put me even in deeper depression. I know a lot of times I'm the kind of guy, and you can call it carnal, whatever you want to. When I played ball, amen, don't take me out. If I broke my ankle, tape it back up. I ain't even going to tell you I'm hurt. Because I want out there, and I want to be part of it, and I want to get in it. I said that to say this. I'm the kind of guy, you suck it up. If you break your nose, pop it back into place, break your finger, tape it to the other one, you'll be all right, and get back out there and suck it up. That's the kind of mentality that I have. And I tell you, sometimes that is not the right mentality to have. Because you don't know what somebody's going through. And you don't know what somebody's facing. And I hope you're not critical this morning, because I tell you something. God may allow you to go through a time of depression. God may allow you to go to a place. I think it was Ralph Sexton Sr. Brother Sexton Sr. said he did not feel the presence of God. It was like years. God gave him that message. How that God sees in the great darkness. And God operates in the great darkness. You may be in a darkness today. You may be in depression today. But I'm telling you, I believe God wants to help you. You say, what would bring this on? First of all, look at verse number 2. There was a distressful event in this life of Elijah. The Bible said, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow. See, stress came in a time of Elijah's life right after he was physically worn out. He was in this place where this distressful event hit him, and emotionally, he was exhausted. Physically, he was exhausted. And then he gets this bad news. I've seen a lot of people get thrown into depression right after they'll be worn out physically, have not had a lot of rest, have insomnia or whatever it is. And I know that God gives his beloved sleep, but some of the best people I know have a trouble sleeping. Amen. I mean, listen, I know that they have issues with that. I know that it's real, but I'll say this, the most spiritual member of your church, the most faithful worker in your church, the most dedicated worker in your church, I can still get depressed if physical and emotional and some kind of traumatic event, if they all come together at one time, it can throw them into depression. That's what happened in Elijah's life. If there is ever a man that would see that we see in the Word of God as a great example of a Christian, it is no doubt the Apostle Paul. It would be him, yet he knew what it was like to get weary in the work of God. 2 Corinthians 1:8, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, even so much that we despaired even of life. He said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, he talks about the perils and being beaten with stones and left outside of Lystra for dead. He talked about being beaten and hungry and weary. And then he said, verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I'll say this, if you're going to pastor or if you're going to minister to anybody in 2017, honey, there's going to be things that's going to come in the church. There's going to be things you're going to deal with, and it will literally wear you out unto God. It's like something off a soap opera. You're like, how in the world could that even happen to somebody? It's happening more and more and more and more. And you know what'll happen? You'll get weary in well doing. That's why Paul said, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's not talking about getting out of sin. That's talking about being faithful. That's talking about teaching this Sunday school. That's talking about studying, giving the people something from the Word of God. That's talking about praying, doing visiting. But you can get worn out doing that. And listen, and I'm talking about doing good stuff. Don't beat yourself over the head because you're weary in the journey. There's a lot of preachers, they won't say that. Amen. I've heard them all say, well, I ain't never got tired. They got tired. I've got tired in the way, but I've not got tired of the way. I can say that. And some of you pastors said, that's because you ain't pastored. That's why you're saying that. I can say that. You know what we do? We put everybody in a lump sum. If they don't respond like we think they ought to. Amen. I believe Romans 8:28. Thank God for it. All things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I believe that. I know that. I've hung my hat on that many, many times. But it's a whole lot easier to say it when you're behind a pulpit than it is when you're down at the hospital praying with a family. Amen. That's the truth. Don't beat yourself over the head because you're depressed. And don't beat yourself over the head and throw yourself in a spiritual dumpster and think you can't do nothing for God. And don't feel it. Listen, what you won't do, you won't admit it. You get embarrassed. You don't want nobody to know about it. I'm telling you, God knows what's going on in your life. Amen. A traumatic event. I mean, an event that came at the wrong time, if you will. I'll say this, Brother Gardner. I've heard people say, well, I said it. They'd say, y'all pray for so-and-so, and they got these physical ailments. And, I can understand, two broke legs and stuff like that. But I know some people, they lay out of church, they say, well, I can't come because I got a bone in my leg. That's not an excuse, amen. Amen. Right, but there are excuses. I used to say this. I used to say, you just come on, everything will be all right. I used to say that. And people would say, well, I want you to pray for so-and-so. Brother Panther, they'd say, pray for brother so-and-so. He's got kidney stones. I said, kidney stones? And they said, well, them kidney stones ain't that big. Some of them look like a grain of sand. I thought, well, you big baby. You let something like a grain of sand keep you out of church. You big baby, that's what I thought. I was out in Missouri. I was in misery, actually. I said, preacher, I said, there's something wrong with my back. I've thrown my back out of place. There's something wrong with the lower back. He said, what's the matter? I said, I went to the doctor there at home, and they gave me some medicine. They said, you've got this. And he said, there's a nurse in the church. Let me talk to him. So he talked to the nurse, and they come back and said, Brother Randy, you don't have that. Everything you've got is the symptoms of a kidney stone. I said, a kidney stone feels like that? They said, oh, yeah, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I thought, unto God, man, I'm about to die right now. I felt like somebody shot me in the back, really, with a 30-06, amen. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you wait, that thing goes to moving and you pass it. You know when I passed my kidney stone? Listen now, I'm not talking about one. I passed a size 4 and a 5 at the same time. When I passed them, it wasn't Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I woke up Sunday morning, thought I was going to die. I mean, listen, honey, you do this, insurance papers in the bottom left-hand drawer. I mean, listen, it was something where I said, honey, I'm not going to make it. Yeah, she said, you going to church? No. No, ma'am, I ain't going to church. Amen. Hey, it doesn't matter if it's Pentecost too, amen. I'm not going to church. I know nobody say that. I know it. You say, what was your prayer life that morning? My prayer life that morning was, oh, God. Oh, Lord. If I read a verse, it was probably, what thou doest, do quickly. Amen. Probably so. Amen. And I passed a 4 and a 5 at the same time at 1:30 on a Monday morning. You say, how do you know it was 1:30 on a Monday morning? Honey, if you ever had kidney stones and you pass a 4 and a 5 at the same time, it's like the songwriter said, I can tell you about the time and I can take you to the place. Amen. That's true. Buddy, I found out right after that, your physical will affect your spirituality. And now when people say, Brother Randy, I want you to pray for this situation. I'm talking about kidney stones, and I'm not belittling that. Honey, I'm not talking about when the doctor comes in and says, you've got 6 months. I'm not talking about when they call you and say, we need you to come back in because there's some things that's coming up abnormal in your blood work. Honey, I tell you what, if you're physical and emotional and then that stress comes in your life, it will throw you into depression. A distressful event, but look at something else. He was delusioned. You say, what are you talking about? I want you to look what it said. Verse 3, it said, and when he saw that, it didn't say when he heard it. It said, when he saw that. You know what we do? Our depression might try to ease up on us and try to throw us in the depths of the doldrums or the blues or whatever you want to call it. And before you know it, I mean, listen, I appreciate the messages on faith, and I want to be a man of faith. But I'm the kind of guy, Brother Nix, I mean, listen, if I get something here, if I've got a little bump on my face or something like that, first thing comes in my mind, Lord, I hope it ain't cancer. Lord, I've got this pain. I hope it ain't nothing serious. I mean, I hope it, and you, if you don't watch it, if that gets you when you're physically tired, emotionally worn out, then a distressful event comes, before you know it, you'll be making your funeral. I mean, you'll be making your funeral arrangements. You'll be already getting everything set up for somebody to preach your funeral and sing songs. The Bible said this, Elijah, when he saw that. Here's what happened. She said this, said, I tell you what, you go back and you tell him that we're going to do to him what happened to the prophets. And the Bible said he saw that. That means in his mind he began to rehearse these things, and he began to visualize himself being cut. He began to visualize himself being destroyed. He began to visualize himself, and do you know what? That was not going to happen. That was not going to happen in his life, but he already, in his mind, it was as it were already happening to him. And he began to think about that. You know what happened? He began to think in a negative way. He began to have faulty thinking. Elijah felt like a failure because of one incident in his life. And he began to say, well, I guess this is it. I guess I'm going under. I guess this is my time. I tell you this, I think Berman Cape outlived four or five doctors. Amen. And they told him, Mr. Cape, you're not going to make it. He outlived several of the doctors. I tell you this, if you get to thinking about negatives, I've heard Brother Goolsby preach that great message on neutralizing the negatives. I tell you, if you think negative, if you begin to hang around negative people, I tell you this, if you get around somebody that's depressed, you may be feeling pretty good, but you get around them, and honey, before you know it, you don't think you're going to make it or not. I see them coming at Faith Baptist Camp, and they some I gravitate to. I know they're going to make me feel better. I know they'll make me feel all right. And they some of them, honey, I run like a scalded dog because I know by the time they get done with me, it's bursitis, gastritis, all them itis boys. They don't think they're going to make it. The whole outfit's falling apart. Ain't nobody preaching but me. Ain't nobody standing but me. You get around somebody like that, you'll be gloom despair. Amen. I mean, it'll be awful. That's right. You know what? He did not focus on reality. Let me read something right here out of Genesis in chapter number 37. Genesis 37. Here's what it said. Genesis 37, y'all familiar, most of you are, but this is when Joseph is thrown down in the pit by his brethren. Boy, that's a whole new outfit there. How about his brethren throwed him in the pit? But you know what happened? The Bible said in verse 31, and they, that's Joseph's brother, took Joseph's brethren, took Joseph's coat, verse 31 of Genesis 37. They killed a kid of the goats, dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of the many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Now, know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And they knew it. At the verse 33, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. You know what Jacob did? Jacob did a lot of times what you and I will do. There's evidence that might be pointing to somebody that may be trying to incriminate you. There is evidence maybe that a Christian, that a church member is doing something that they ought not be doing. There might be some evidence that is pointing toward that way. But you know what Jacob said? Jacob said, without a doubt, my Joseph is gone. Without a doubt, my son is dead. It was not like Jacob thought it was. I'll say this, ma'am, it is not like you think it is. The devil has painted a picture. The Bible said that they sent a messenger. Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. That's because Jezebel knew that he was God's man, and a messenger came to him to try to get him off course. And it almost worked. It almost worked. You say, what happened? Well, he got distracted. He runs 100 miles away. With the juice that he had left, he run 100 miles away. You can look at it where he ran off to. Ran to Beersheba, 100 miles away. What little strength he did have, he spent it running away from his biggest fear. You know what happened? He made a bad mistake. You know what he said? He runs away and says, am I not better than my father's? You know what he does, Brother Moore? He says this, if I only had the ministry that Dwayne Moore had. If I only had the church Mark Biddy had. If I only had the ministry that this individual had. If I only had the congregation that so-and-so had. The women say, if I only had the home that she's got. If I only had the shoes. All 1,242,000. If I only had the shoes they've got. If I only had this outfit. If I only had the car they have. If I only had, listen, I'm convinced of this, that buying, impulse buying, is a sign of depression. Because they're trying to fill that void and trying to find something to fill that void. Impulse and trying to just go out and fill that void. And sometimes people would say, well, you know, if I just was like this, if I just had, I'll say this, thank God, God wants you to be who you are. Amen. Be who you are and God can use you. God help, I feel like, oh, what's his name on the TV? What's his name? Oh, Smiley. Joel Osteen. Amen. Today is going to be your best day. But it really is. I mean, that may be known as truth that rascal tells, but I'll say this. I'll say this, God's got something for you. Aren't you glad God don't want a bunch of robots? Aren't you glad that God made you who you are? He knew what he's getting when he got you, and he still wants to use you anyhow. Amen, he does. Now, I tell you what a lot of people do. They'll say, well, if I had this and I had that, and if you don't watch it, you'll become critical of other preachers. You'll become critical of other people. Well, if he didn't compromise, he wouldn't have this. Amen. I mean, listen, you can't win, and I'm kind of in. I feel like I'm in the book of Acts right now in the ministry that God called me to be in. But listen, if you get meetings as an evangelist, then you're compromised and you ain't preaching nothing. If you don't get meetings as an evangelist, then God ain't using you. I mean, you can't win in it, amen. Hey, listen here, evangelist, look, I can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities, amen. I know that's just the way it is, but when you go to compare it, why is God doing that? Why does God bless them? Hey, listen, God knows what he's doing, and God is using you. As a matter of fact, God will use you again. What's the difference? And I'm done right here. God will use you again. I thought about this. We think, well, you know, if I ain't perfect. Listen, you don't have to be perfect to pray. You have to be willing to pray. Amen. People say, I can't pray and can't get a hold of God because I got issues in my life. I got problems in my life. Well, join the crowd. You know what Jesus said? This is the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. God said this. How do you pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. It was three statements before Jesus even asked us to ask for forgiveness. What a lot of people say, well, I don't feel like I can pray because I'm not right with God. How can you get right with God if you don't pray? Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of, and it won't take him long. The sweet Holy Ghost of God will bring up the faults in your life. He'll bring up the sins, and you won't be haughty about it. I mean, you'll say, God, I'm sorry. You know what? And I love what the God said right here first time I read this, preacher. You talking about lighting me up? You know what? God sent an angel down there to Elijah. He's depressed, and he don't even want to live no more. Here's what the book said. The Bible said, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I read that. I said, praise God. Here's this man discouraged. He's wore out, and God said, get up and get you something to eat. I said, praise God, that's my kind of God right there, amen. Hallelujah. He said, get up and get you something to eat. And you know what the Bible said in verse 6? The Bible said, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again, touched him a second time, and told him and touched him and said, arise and eat. See, the commandment did not change. But you know what I like about that? He said this. He said there was a cake, coals, and a cruise. I want you to turn back to 1 Kings 17. Amen. And Brother Goosby, if you preach this, I know he's preached it, but I'm on a bootleg a little bit. Amen. Off of you right here. I just thought about this. Why did God send an angel down there and to touch him, not to smack him around, not to say, you sorry thing, look how God's used you, look how God's blessed you, and you're down here having a pity party. God sent an angel down there and said, arise and eat. And when he got up to eat, he put a cake, a cruise, right there in front of him, and some coals. You say, where would that come from? Well, there's the day when Elijah didn't know what God was doing, and God sent him down there by the brook of Cherub and said, I tell you what I'm going to do, Elijah. I'm going to take care of you with the ravens, and then I'm going to send you down yonder to a widow's house, and she ain't got but two sticks to rub together, but I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be good to you. And the Bible said this in 1 Kings 17. It said in verse number 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. The Bible said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And she went and did according to the
the saying of Elijah. Here Elijah, he comes into town. I mean, listen, he don't know what's going on. God's fed him by the brook. And he comes by and meets this widow woman. Honey, I'm not talking about somebody that's got a lot of money. I'm talking about somebody that's down and out. And God said this. God said, woman, I want you to make you a fire. And listen, Elijah kind of sits up to juniper tree and said, you know what? That fire looks kind of like that fire that the woman made for me. And said, you know what? That cake kind of looks like that cake that the woman made for me. And that cruise kind of looks like that cruise that God put in my path. I tell you, God still got coals. God still got a cake. And God still got it in cruise control, honey. I tell you what, God knows what's going on in your life. Look what God's done for you. Do you think he brought you to this day to drop you off? Do you think he's done with you? I tell you, God can't get you off his mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just telling you. Ain't that the way God does? Let me get me a drink here. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, I'm doing that and breathe. If I don't breathe, I ain't gonna make it. God will remind you of things. Preachers preached about it. God will remind you. You think he's brought you in just to drop you off and said, well, I'm done with you? Oh, no. No way. He loves, he don't only just wear the title of Father, he really does shoulder the responsibility of being your Heavenly Father. God can use anything. God can remind you of some things. I was coming back from, we had been in, this has been, I guess, a couple years ago. And man, I was just, well, no, yeah, probably 2 or 3 years ago. And I was just, I had some anxiety. I didn't know what all was going on. And I'd preached. And didn't seem like nothing really happened. I mean, really. And we was coming back. And I remember we stopped at Commerce, Georgia. Stopped at Commerce. And to eat. And stopped at that Ryan's there. And I walked in. And listen, my wife didn't know it. Children didn't know it. But I just kind of got wrapped up in myself. I really did. God, I'm putting all these things out. Lord, I'm trying to study. I'm trying to be faithful. Trying to give them something. God, I ain't seeing nothing. Didn't have nobody saved. Seemed like it just went through the motions. Seemed like no meeting, no movement. And man, before I know it, I'm sitting there. And I'm despondent. And then I get over into depression. I start thinking, man, I mean, here's this evangelist. And I mean, you know, you be around these guys. How'd you meet? Oh, yeah, we had 78 saved last week, 42 called to the mission field, starting a brand new program. Somebody gave somebody $350,000. Where I just left from, just like Alan Montgomery. Alan Montgomery told me a while ago, said, Brother Randy, after you left, we started a addictions program. He said, Brother Randy, after you preached for us, we had to start an addictions program. I thought, well, praise God, ain't that good for an evangelist, amen. Amen. Yeah, I had to start an addictions program after Brother Randy left. Hey, I preach for guys. I preach for more than one. Said, Brother Randy, when the meeting's over with, I'm resigning. If you was going to get me for a meeting, you ain't going to get me now, are you? That's all right. That's okay. It's all right. Amen. I don't blame you. I sitting there, got wrapped up in myself. Wife didn't know it. Family didn't know it. Millie, I didn't know you was going to be here, but Millie goes to our church, and Millie had texted my wife. And they had been building a house. And Millie said, we just met Barry McIntyre. He's down here at Dalton Wholesale Floorings, right down there at the Daresville. The best price for the... No, that's not a commercial. That's not a commercial. But I didn't know she was going to be here, but I did want to tell this. And she was texting, and she said, we met Barry McIntyre today, and Barry started telling us about when you worked for them and when you began to, how God had blessed you, and Barry talked to him about this and that and working with me, selling hardwood up in Dalton. I tell you, God taught me more about himself working that job than probably I've ever learned anywhere else. You know, if you work a job, God will teach you things about how he'll provide. I mean, listen, I was down and out. Some of y'all know my testimony. I owed a whole lot of money, a credit card debt, didn't see how in the world I was going to get out of it. And God gave me that job. And I mean, when I was tithing and mission, it took everything I had. We had babies on the way, but God always provided. And I tell you, right on time, Amy started saying, Millie talked to Barry a while ago. And he began to tell her all those stories about when you worked up there and about how God did this and God did that. Brother Gardner, in my mind, I started rehearsing. Hey, I remember when I was back there in them pallets one day and God showed up. I remember remember when that fellow come in there and bought the God awfulest looking pink hardwood flooring, bought 2,500 feet of it. I made $250 to make a payment with. God began to remind me of that. Now listen, don't throw me under the bus here. About that time, I could hear this song faintly in the background. Don't need money, don't need fame, don't need a credit card to ride this train. Honey, I tell you, I know it ain't the right song. I know it ain't spiritual. But I tell you what, praise God, I believe I could have run down I-85 and back because God reminded me where he brought me from and what he's done in my life. Man, don't you give up on God. God's not gave up on you. Preacher, I appreciate the message last night. You know what I thought about? Do thyself no harm. It ain't like you think it is. God's got something for you if you're dealing with depression. Thank you, preacher.